Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Find us on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF every Wednesday, our WEEI coverage of the NFL Draft is presented by Zooty. Build any application your company needs in 1 week. Get your free trial today. Visit Zooty.com for details. And this week we have from the NFL Network, their analyst Charlie Casserly joins us live on the Harbor One Hotline. Charlie, how are you today?
Great. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing good. Terrific. Terrific. So you tell us, is this crazy? Everybody is talking, obviously, about the quarterbacks. Is it possible that the first four picks in this year's draft are a quarterback? Is it even more possible that five of them go once we get to maybe Carolina at number eight?
Yeah, it is possible, certainly. The one that's interesting is, well, of course, with San Francisco, it is quite interesting, too. But, you know, with Atlanta, they have this situation they're looking at. Matt Ryan's going to be there for a couple more years. They feel he played well last year, good enough on his end to take them to the playoffs. So I think there's a feeling they should have won more games than they did. And, you know, do they take a pick that high with a quarterback that will not be rated as high as other players on the board? So that's the situation they're in. And so I don't know that they don't maybe trade back. I think that's got to be a hard discussion in that room. I don't know that it's automatic they take a quarterback. And because they could very well be looking at Lance of North Dakota State. And, you know, there are Fields of Ohio State, possibly. I think they'll look at one of those, too. I think of San Francisco, and I don't know. I mean, Moore, even though it's very high form, seems to fit what they would want to do. If the first two quarterbacks are gone, and then he's there.
You know, based on, you know, Bill's history of drafting and, you know, and what he values, do you see them, you know, if, you know, moving up to get a guy that they want? I mean, because it's happened before, but I'd assume they would really need to love that guy. But because I always feel like they just put a high value on value picks instead of being aggressive and, you know, making maybe, you know, shot in the dark type of guy.
Well, he has a history of moving up. He has maybe more of a history of moving down, but only when he's late in the draft. So is there somebody there that he really wants to jump to get? And I'm not sure, you know, if there is that guy. I mean, he's got to think about corner, okay? Because, you know, Gilmore's going last year of his contract. And, you know, you've got Jackson, okay, in his situation where, you know, we don't know how long, you know, he's going to be there. So, you know, that's kind of the things that, you know, he may have to think about that position, which is one position, obviously, he did not address in free agency.
Charlie, as you imagine, everybody around here is talking about the quarterback position in New England. And so it comes down to, you know, Cam Newton's here. You know, I don't think he's the future. Does Bill Belichick go get the future this year in the draft, or does he think he can win with just sort of average quarterback play?
Well, the future is not going to win games for him, I think, this year. He's going to have to make a decision Is there a quarterback there in the first round, or maybe one in the second, the third round, that he like a Garoppolo? And, you know, he's drafted quarterbacks in the third round. They didn't work out. Garoppolo did. It just, you know, worked out for San Francisco as opposed to them because of the trade. I don't know that there's a quarterback he'll take in the first round. If somebody slides, you know, then that's a decision he's going to have to make. But, you know, he has it in his history to move up, and there's always that possibility.
Charlie, you've done this as a GM. How do you put together your board of players that you like and then try to figure out what other teams are going to do to see if that guy's available? Because everybody lies to everybody, right? So how do you figure it out if your guy's going to be available?
Well, what we did is this. First of all, you put the board together based on talent slash character, however you want to rate it, not on needs and not on what you want. And then you maneuver the board to get the players that you think you need to get. Right. Now, how did we know what other people were doing? We did a couple things, but probably the biggest thing is there were two members of the media. How about that one?
Wow.
Okay, who I'd exchanged information with. Now, I would never give them something that's going to compromise the team, but they were outstanding, see? And what I really wanted to know is what was the team thinking? What was their position priority, and who were they thinking? And if I could get a couple of names, and I had one guy who was brilliant on this, okay? Then that kind of helped me know where a team would go, because a mock draft, one player goes out of, quote, an order, okay, if there is an order, and all of a sudden, you know, hey, what are they going to do? So that's what I relied upon, which was very helpful. And I had two guys that were really good at it. Nobody knows everything. That's one thing I've learned, okay, through the years. So you piece it together. On mock drafts, I only paid attention the week of the draft. Anything before the week of the draft, I just ignored. Only for this thing, it was about five drafts we looked at, and what we got is a consensus on the first round names, and then there would be a consensus of the next group of names. And the only thing I did is, in our meetings, I might spend a little bit more time on those names, because traditionally, those were the next echelon. So I might spend a little more time on that. So those are the things we got. I had two good sources and mock drafts last week of the draft, and look at the guys that are the fringe players on the first round, and usually they are. And that's the time I spend in my meetings on them, extra time.
You know, Charlie, this since there's no combine, there's been so much attention given to these pro days at these colleges, and it seems like everybody is in love with whoever's throwing or whoever's running a route. You know, and I just feel like there's a lot made up of it, but does it make up the bulk of your decision? When you're really trying to evaluate a guy, I feel like the good ones should already have their mind made up based on film and tape study.
Yeah, call it 90% of the evaluation is done off tape. What you're trying to do in the spring, and you're right, this is a tough one now, is fill in the blanks. Well, we like to get a 40 time on them, okay? The combine was a good balance because everybody ran in the same conditions. Now, these unofficial times, I mean, I guess they're coming from the colleges. A lot of fast times this spring, okay? For example, I said this on television today, Terrence Marshall of LSU, he ran 4.3-something. I watched the tape, and I got him in the second round. He's not that fast on tape, okay? So there's a clear difference between him and Chase on tape, and they both ran the same time. So you're going to have to sift through what we call play speed, which you visualize the time to be, as opposed to what the time speed is. So the other thing you're trying to get the medical done. That's the most important thing. Fill in the blanks statistically on the stuff you need. And then if you got players that are changing a position, maybe you got a defensive end, who now you want to make them a 34 outside linebacker, you'd like to drill them in your drills. I don't think you can do that. And when guys are close together, you want to try to work them out and compare them in the drill part of it, because you've got the tape being equal. It's a lot harder now because you're not running the drills the way you might want to run them. So
Charlie, you look around the league, obviously quarterback play, you look at the last four quarterbacks left this past year, teams are always trying to improve at that position, and you see the value maybe of trading up to get quarterbacks. So do these teams pay too much, or do you understand that how valuable those quarterbacks are, that if you feel like it's the guy, you give up whatever it takes, because that's the only way to win?
Well, it's a good question. Did Washington give up too much to get RG3?
Yeah.
In retrospect, yes. Okay. But retrospect is easy, see? That's the Monday morning quarterback. So the answer is San Francisco has gone blind on this one. Their third-rated quarterback is going to be the guy they have to accept giving up all those draft choices to. And as Shanahan said, we know what we had our last 4 years. Now we're looking at the next 4 years, and they feel you got to have a quarterback, especially when you're winning. You know, you feel that you need to get that guy. And I don't know what the percentages it works out. It's probably maybe 50-50 when you make that decision. But, you know, that's what's going to happen. New England, clearly, they're not mortgaging the future, and they're going to try to work through it. And, you know, I'm sure they'd like to get another quarterback there besides Cam, and we'll see what happens. It's interesting because if you study the teams that, you know, have those elite quarterbacks, they don't always win because of them. It takes a whole team to do it, but it's a lot easier if you have the elite quarterback.
We're talking draft with Charlie Casserly of the NFL Network. So everybody tells us how bizarre this year is going to be, much different than anything we've ever experienced before. There were players that didn't play at all last year because of COVID. There were players that were playing under much different conditions. So normally there are mistakes made in the draft. First-round draft pick ends up being third, fourth, whatever. How many more mistakes will we have this year, Charlie, because of the great unknown? You just haven't been able to do the normal research.
Well, your logic says we're going to have more, and I agree with you. Now, the problem is we don't know who they are yet.
Okay? Right.
When you look at it. And a lot of it could be on the speed positions, guys that you think are faster than they really are. If you just sit there and take those times and don't try to adjust them to what you see on tape, that's going to be, to me, the biggest thing. When I watch Ja'Marr Chase work out or you know, Asul of Oregon, and I watched the tape from a year ago, you take him. You know, Gronk, who's one of the greatest tight ends in football, you really took him off the year before tape, and it worked out pretty good there, okay? So sometimes some of these guys, if they're really good on the tape, you take them. What you don't know is the guys who take that jump as a senior, and you're really not able to judge that, maybe because they didn't play a lot of games, didn't play a full schedule. You don't know about some of these guys are going to keep getting better, and you just don't know it. When I look at the tapes, and I don't spend a lot of time looking at mock drafts, to be honest with you, but I have a sense of how teams have graded players just by surveying. It all makes sense when I look at the tape and where people have got people rated. But we could all be wrong, like you pointed out, because we don't see everything that we would see.
So, Charlie, last one for me is there, you know, that second-tier quarterback. So if you get rid of the top four, I would call it, the Lawrences, the Fields, the Wilsons, and the Joneses, who is your top three after those guys? Would it be the Kellen Munns of the world, the Kyle Trask of the world? Who would you think would be the first guy, that second-round quarterback that could possibly be like a Russell Wilson-type quarterback or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, let's not make him good at this point, okay? So, you know, I think Trask certainly fits in there. Smart guy, knows where to go with the football. I think he makes good decisions. So I think he probably is – I would put him as the next guy to go. And then I would say that the guy after that, to me, it's intriguing, is Stanford Davis Mills. You know, they played an abbreviated schedule there, but I think this guy's got a lot of talent. And if a guy was going to emerge from the second level to be good, this is the guy that I would shoot for.
So, Charlie, I know we're talking about draft and Patriots really the last 3 or 4 years, 5 years really, been talking about how maybe they've missed on some of the guys. Luckily, they had the money to kind of fill those holes in. So I'm just curious, the free agents, the signings they did, are they a contender, or do they just sort of get back to the talent level that you would expect in this league?
Well, they won 7 games without these players, and I think that's an all-time coaching job by the coaching staff, obviously led by the Hall of Famer Bill Belichick. So they are better. Cam Newton's got to play better than he played, or somebody's got to play better for them to take the next step. You know, Miami's going to keep hounding them. Buffalo clearly is ahead of them, just in the division. That's the tackle there. But, you know, they needed speed at receiver. Aguilar gave them that. He had a career year. The tight end position, they totally rebuilt. We're too good, the top two tight ends. Hunter Henry, who's kind of a complete tight end, and Jonnu Smith, who's a guy that's still getting better. He's more the H-back receiver. They wanted to get physical inside, so, you know, Godchuk and Anderson really help them there. Judon is, and getting Van Noy back, that's great, because they're kind of multiple position type guys you can move around. Neither one is a 10-sack guy. I don't know if neither one's an 8-sack guy, if you just leave them outside, but the way they can blitz and move around, you know, adds a lot of versatility to the defense. And as long as you've got Gilmore there, healthy with Jackson, you've got a basis to defend people because you've got two really good corners there that can shut a lot of people down. The quarterback play has got to get better, but I think based on 7 wins last year and the coaching, they're a tough out for everybody.
Charlie, before we let you go, I've got to go back into a moment that happened. It's been 11 years now since this happened with Bill Belichick. So we interview Belichick every week during the course of the season. And trust me, we keep on asking him about what former coach, former general manager had to say on the NFL Network or ESPN or whatever. He never takes the bait. And you, I'm sure, remember this, and I want to play the tape for you so you can hear it. But out of nowhere, because I was the one asking the question, out of nowhere, we didn't bring up your name. He brought up your name. Listen.
And who's been wrong more than Charlie Casserly since he's left the Redskins?
Yeah.
Who's been wrong more? Yeah. I mean, wherever he's been, whatever he's done, I mean, his percentage has got it's like a meteorologist.
Have you ever talked to Bill about that?
I'm not going to discuss my conversations with Coach Belichick, okay? Number one, we have no issues. Number two, I was damn right on what I said, wasn't I?
Yeah, well, you were talking about this.
I'm just curious, like, what was it that pissed him off so bad? Do you
broken
remember?
Ribs.
Well, we had two of them. I was the guy who broke Spygate.
Oh.
You know, everybody jumped on the bandwagon after that Jet game. I hit it the year before.
Oh, that'll do it, Charlie. That'll do it.
Yeah, and I think that was it, see?
So, well, that week it was the – you had reported that week that Tom Brady had like 3 broken ribs.
I had that one. Now let me ask you, who was right on that one?
I don't remember, but I'm going to say you. They don't report injuries down there, Charlie. We never find
Yeah, I was right on that one. Okay.
I think
his statement there, and you have the tape, you have the date on it. If that was from the Belichick one, yeah, I had that one right 100%. Brady come out and said it the year after the season was over. Mm. So, and in Spygate, I hit that. Nobody would touch it until the following fall. And then they all jumped on the bandwagon. So, I was 2 for 2. And then I was actually 3 for 3 on a fight in practice. And he wouldn't say anything at his press conference on that one. So, but there's no issues with Belichick. And any conversation I had with him stayed between us.
All right. I had to throw that out. I wanted to see if there was any conversation.
No, that's
listen,
fine. Hey, that's your job. Go ahead.
We really appreciate you helping us out here today with the draft. All right. We'll talk to you down the road. Thank you, Charlie.
All right. Good to be with you guys.
See you later. Charlie Casserly of the NFL Network.